Today, I'm gonna start a message, man. I want to talk to you guys. As we were getting ready to ask people to help us with the different things, businesses and all that, to donate, not to us but to the kids. One of the questions that was asked was, "What's your mission? What do you guys do? Why are you doing what you do? What do you get out of it?" And the same thing was true. We don't get anything other than just being a help. Being able to do what God's called us to do. And so the mission of our church, if you really look at it, what I see and what I want our church to be and understand is that there's two things that Jesus said were the most important of all things. And he said it's to love God and to love people. He said, and when you do those two things, everything else takes care of itself. Like all the rules and regulations, all the things that are happening, all the things you have to do, you don't have to do them. You want to do them. Why do you want to do them? Because I love God, I want to do what he wants. I want to take care of what he loves, which is his people. And because of that, I love people. And it doesn't matter what they are or who they look like or what they did yesterday or what they're going to do in an hour. It matters that I care about them and that I love them. It doesn't matter whether they're in a rough situation because they put themselves there or because just things happen and they don't know why they're where they're at. All that doesn't matter. What matters is that we love God and that we love people. We see that in Mark, the 12th chapter, verses 28 through 31. It says this whole little chapter in Mark, chapter 12, is nothing but religious people and different things trying to trap Jesus into doing something that would condemn him to death. They're trying to get rid of him because the line of thinking that Jesus brings about, the new covenant that he has for us, for you and I to live by and under, not that it does away with the old one, it just fulfills it, right? Those rules, those things, they're still there, but it gives us an availability to be able to do them. Why? Because one, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us and helps us with those things where it wasn't available like that before. The Spirit of God would come on people and then it would leave people. If you read all through the Old Testament, like the Spirit of God came and then it left, and then it came and then it left. But what we have under the new covenant is an availability for him to live and dwell inside of us, that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But at this time, they didn't like that, right? They were religious. They were like, you don't understand, don't you? They had learned the Bible. They had gone through the Bible. Don't get me wrong. Knowing the word of God is a good thing, right? The devil is overcome by the word of the Lord, right? And the word of our testimony. By the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. By what God's word says, by what he did, by how our lives are lived, right? The word of God is what we need. Any trial, any tribulation, any test that came upon Jesus, what did he do? He quoted the scripture, and what happened? It shut their mouths, right? It shut their mouths. It didn't anger them. Some of them, they got angry because they couldn't trip him up. They couldn't trap him. We're going to see that in just a few minutes. But what we see in this chapter is the Pharisees come, the Herodians come. They bring them in because they're like the heavy hitters of the law, because the chief priests and the other guys couldn't trap him up. And they's like, well, man, I don't know how this guy knows all this stuff, but let's bring in people that are really gonna take him out. They're like, there's nothing he can say that's gonna get past him. And we have this one. How many of you know you get that one bullet in your pocket, like you know it's gonna win in an argument, and then you pull it out and it doesn't work? What happens? Oh man, well that's what happened here in Mark 12. They're coming to him and they say, man, we know how we're gonna get him. It's over, but let's go through the process, let's do these things. And through this, one of the scribes came to him and heard him disputing and fighting and arguing back and forth about what was going on. And I asked him, which of the commandments is most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all the heart, all your soul, all your mind, with all your strength. And the second of this is love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandments than these. Jesus, just like every other day, a lot of other days, was continually harassed by the religious people, by the people that knew God's plan and knew it better than everyone else, and aren't I so holy? And they were coming to him and they were trying to destroy him again with the relentless questions and this and that and the other, trying to have him make himself wrong, to put himself in a position where he had sinned or where he had done something wrong. By their rules, by the regulations, they could condemn him. The chief priests, those were the guys in the temple who took care of the vessels and took part of all the ceremonies that happened in the church. Those were those guys. Then you had the scribes. They studied and interpreted the law of Moses, and they did all they could to force the Jews, according to the law, to impose stiff penalties. Like, well, if you don't do this right, we're going to do this to you because you didn't do it right. And I love the story or when Jesus says, hey, man, look at the dust, or you're trying to take the dust out of your neighbor's eye, but you got like a 2x4 in your own eye. You got a whole plank in your eye, and you're trying to point finger and nitpick what they're doing. You know what? You know the only person you should be worried about, the only person you have authority to speak into their lives and say you're doing stuff wrong, that's you, right? That's you. The Holy Spirit's job is to take care of the rest of the people, right? To come and to talk to us about how we should do and what we should do and how we should live our lives. It's up to us to love people and to give them opportunities to change. Then you have the elders, man, and they held positions in the leadership of the government of the Jews, and they all came to challenge him. And because they were unable to trap him, because they were unable to get him, they desired to kill him. But they knew if they did, what would happen? They would have to deal with the crowd that loved Jesus. Because they all understood. They all could understand what he was saying. He took the word of God and he put it in parables. He put it in stories. He put it in ways that people understood it. How many of you have read the Bible and it didn't make sense? And then somebody said, oh, it's like this. And you'd be like, oh, that's what that means. Okay. All right. That's what Jesus did. And because of it, the principles that he taught, their lives were changed. And things happened. The religious sect didn't like it very much. And so, like I said, they brought in the Pharisees and the Herodians. The Pharisees were perfectionists in obedience of the law of Moses. They knew every religious angle to catch Jesus if he was to make a mistake or say anything that would condemn him according to the Jewish law. They were the household of Herod. They were Roman governors, and they were extremely knowledgeable in Roman laws, and they would be ready to see if Jesus were to do anything against Rome and against Herod's commands so that they could step in and impose judgment on him, get him in trouble. And they came to this one spot, this one sore spot, and it's a sore spot around a lot of people today. How many of you like paying taxes? Okay, nobody raised their hand. What's up with that? You like? Like when you're a kid, teenager, who's FICA, and how come he gets my money? I don't get it. Yeah? It's one of those things. Nobody likes to do that. And then a lot of times it's giving to the church is a sore spot as well. And so they decided with this one foul swoop, we're going to take care of Jesus. And they came to him and they said, should we pay taxes or should we not pay taxes? Should we give Caesar what he's asking for us to give him to the Roman government because they're imposing this stuff on us? Or should we take care of God, right? What should we do? So if you say, well, we're going to don't pay Herod, then the Herodians will come in and take him away. Or you don't pay Caesar, the government, then they will come and say, well, he's breaking the law. He's teaching people not to do these things. And then if you say, well, don't give to the church. Just take care of that. Well, then it's like, well, the church got them. How many of you have ever been caught between two places, right? Between two places, and no matter what you said, it was going to be wrong. No matter what you did, it wasn't going to work. That's where they thought they had Jesus right there. Jesus covers both of them very simply, and he says this. It says, Let me read it to you. Mark 12, 13 through 17. It says, and they said to some of the Pharisees and some of the Herodians to trap him in his talk. They came to him and said, teacher, we know that you are true, that you do not care about men's opinion, and you're not swayed by appearances. You truly teach the way of God. What were they doing right there? You ever had a kid came to butter you up before they hit you with something? Right? That's what they were doing right here. They were saying, oh man, we know that you divide the word rightly. You do everything the way it's supposed to be done. You don't care what people think. You're going to tell them what the word of God says and you're going to live by that. We get that. We understand. And this is what it says. It says, and Jesus, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, why do you put me to a test? Right before that, they said, teacher, we know all that. You're not swayed by that. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or should we not pay them? Knowing their hypocrisy, he said, why do you put me to the test? Bring me a denarii, and let's look at it. And they brought him one, and he said, whose likeness is inscribed on it? And they said, Caesar's. And Jesus said, give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. Give the government that which belongs to the government. But give to God that which belongs to God. A lot of people say Jesus never talks about tithes and offerings, but what is a tithe? It's a tenth. Who does it belong to? According to Scripture in Malachi, it belongs to God. That's why he said, why are you robbing me of those things? right? So this is what he says. He says, hey, give the government what you're supposed to give the government. Give the God what you're supposed to give the God. And they were very upset because they were waiting on him to say, well, take care of the church, not God. Oh, well, take care of God, not the church, so that they would have him, that they could trap him no matter what happened. The problem is just like Jesus, how many of you understand the scripture where it says Jesus has gone through everything? He intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. He's a priest that knows what we've go through because he went through it all himself, right? We don't have a high priest that doesn't know what we're going through, just going and saying, well, I don't know why they're going through this, but they're going through this. He faced the same things that you and I face. Again, with being trapped between one side and the other side and not being able to answer one thing, or if you answer this way, then you're wrong, or if you answer that way, then you're wrong. Trapped between two groups. On one side, there's legalistic people that are in the church world who condemn everything you say, everything you do, everywhere you go. You can't seem to do anything that's holy enough or good enough to be a part of them, right? And if you've done anything in your past, it negates you from being able to come and be a part of it. Or if you don't do things the way that I think you should do them, then you're wrong and surely going to hell. Do you know there's only one person that gets to decide whether we go to heaven or hell or not? Well, let me take that back. There's two people that get to decide. You guys ready? You guys are confused right now. I see gray matter burning. God is the only one that will sit in judgment. But this is what the word of God said. It says, I set before you today blessing or cursing, life and death. I want you to choose life, but it's totally up to you. It's totally up to you. You get to choose where you're going to stand. This is what happens, man. There's people on the right condemning and saying you can't do that. But then the opposite side of that coin is if you stand with the right principles, or I'm not going to go do those things because they're not, I can't do those things, or I shouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? I go over this all the time. Y'all know where I'm at. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to tell you need to live the way that I live. You need to live by the convictions God's put on your life. Use the word of God to point them out. But you know what? For me, alcohol is a complete and total sin. I need to stay away from it. Right? Do you know why that is? Because God delivered me from that like 18 years ago. So why would I go back again? Why would I even do that? So you know what? In my house, that's what we believe. We believe that with all our, I teach it to my kids. My kids see some good friends we have and people we know when we go hang out places. Because you know what? Just because you're going to drink something don't mean I ain't going to hang out with you. Right? Jesus did the same thing. Like, why are you eating with sinners and drinking with prostitutes and all that kind of, why are you doing all that stuff? He said, because those are the people that need to know God loves them, right? Now, I'm not going to partake of those things, but I don't want you to look down on me because I don't want to do those things. The world ends up putting you in a category where you're a religious freak or a Jesus freak or a holy roller or all those kind of things because you don't want to do those things. So you can't win for losing, right? You're not good enough for them, but you're too good for them, apparently, in your own mind. That's the way you think. How many of you have ever thought that? How many of you have ever thought, well, I'm way better than you. I can't hang with you. That's not the logic. That's not our heart or the mentality that goes on, whether we're perceived that way or not. But this is the one thing that I do know. God's kingdom isn't about legalism. It isn't about pleasing the religious crowd. It's not about mixing with the world so that we can fit in with them a little and fit in with church as well. It's not about that. It's not about trying to obey religious laws or of religion or the world or do these different things. It's about loving God and loving people. That's what it should be about. Jesus says this in your notes, man. First thing. I think it's first thing in your notes. Yeah, first thing in your notes. Is this a heart matter? It's a matter of the heart. In Matthew 5, Jesus talks about a lot of different things, but this is what he says. He says, not if you kill your brother, it's if you have hatred for him or anger, it says in some translation, for him in your heart, you'll face the same judgment, right? Then it says this, it says, not if you commit adultery, but if you look on a woman in lust, it's the same thing because you've already done it in your heart. See, Jesus took everything to a whole new level. He didn't do away with it. He said it's not about just doing those things. It's about what's on the inside. What's in here? I see these things on Facebook all the time, and it says, I may seem calm on the outside, but I've choked you out 12 different ways in my mind, right? Or I've punched you in the face sick 12 times already. The scripture said it's the same thing as doing it then, if you have that in your heart. We need to put those things away. That's why the Holy Spirit comes to what? To renew our minds. To renew our minds, to take those things away, to help us get through different things, to allow us to forgive, to allow those things to let go, to not dwell on issues. Love is patient, love is kind, right? It doesn't keep score. Well, you did this to me 3 times, so I got 2 more times, and then we're even, right? It's not how it works, man. It's not what love is all about. Jesus said it's about the heart. We see this in 1 Samuel 16:7, when David is about to be anointed, right? And Samuel comes in to anoint him, and he sees his brother, and he's big, and he's like everything he thinks a king should be in his own eyes. He looks good. He's big. I'm sure this is the right guy. And God says, it's not him. What does he say? But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance, the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on what? The heart. So you know what? You can look as holy as you want to look, as good as you want to look, but if your heart's all jacked up, amen. I think it'd be better to look bad on the outside and be right on the inside. That wouldn't happen. Because this is the thing, when you're right on the inside, it transforms the outside. When you have things right on the inside, it changes everything. These guys that we're talking about in chapter 12 were all about rules and regulations and doing this and about not doing that and how you have to do these different things. And again, Jesus answered, man, it's not about all that stuff. It's about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. When we look at all the commandments, when we look at what God commands us to do, all the rules, and I didn't even take a drink. Hold on, let me take a drink. I just opened it and kept talking. It closed, it opened, it closed, it's all good. Sorry. When we look at the commandments, the thing that God said, hey, you guys need to do this, you guys need to do that, we look at the Ten Commandments, right? When you look at all those different things, the first four, you know what they do? They deal with loving God. That's it, right? Have no other gods before me. Don't worship idols. Don't put things in front of me, right? That's the same kind of the same thing, but it works. How many of you know we put idols up in our life all the time, whether we know it or not, or whether we think about it or not? Some people it's football. Some people it's hunting. Some people it's shopping. Some people it's clothes, right? It's stuff. Some people it's their kids. Are elevating your kids in your life and where they're at in your life a bad thing? Only if you put them in front of God, right? So I'm having this hangout time with a friend of mine, man, and we're talking about stuff. And I said, man, you know what? Most important thing you need to do is your wife. You need to take care of your wife. You make sure you take her out on dates. You need to give her stuff. You need to buy her stuff. You need to do stuff. And it's like the Holy Spirit punched me in the stomach. It's like, when's the last time you took your wife out on a date? Look, we've been here a year and a half, and we had coffee once. Just being her. I'm sorry. Is that showing her that she's important to me? Nope. That puts her on the back burner. Now, all these other things important as well? Yes, they are, but they need to be put in the right place. Y'all remember the professor in the jar? Y'all remember that one? With the pebbles and the rocks and all those things, and he put them all in and they fit perfectly. Then he had the same things, same size jar, and he put them in the different way and nothing fit, right? Why? Because it's not in the right order. When you put everything in the right order in your life, things work. This is saying the first commandment is all about putting God first. No other gods before me. No idols. Don't bow down to idols. Be careful with God's name. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. And the other one, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Is church important? Is it important to come here? Yes, it is. It says later in the scripture, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why is that important? Because you can't do everything alone, man. Do you know when people get in trouble? Most people, when they're by themselves. Right? Every issue that you have, everything that you go through, when you try to do it alone, guess what happens? It takes twice as long and it never works as good, right? We were talking about that yesterday, man. All the guys are pressure washing on the building. Look at the building. We got some more to do. We didn't do this side, so don't look at this side. Look at like the front and the front and the one piece in the back by the core. We got that done. But you know what Dwayne said? He said, usually I used to do this and it would take me 2 or 3 Saturdays by myself. But what happened? We had 4 or 5 guys yesterday stayed. We were here from after breakfast from 8 to 12, so 4 hours working on stuff, doing stuff, pressure washing the sidewalk, man, doing all this kind of stuff, trying to make the place look good. And what happened? It looked so much better, so much faster. Why? Because we came together and did it instead of just trying to do it by ourselves. You know why the food pantry works so well some months and not well others? Because some months we'll have 12 people to unload the truck. And then the next month it'll be me and Dwayne unloading the truck and the ladies sorting in here. Right? Don't feel sorry for us. It's what we're supposed to do. But you know what? You could be a part of it. You could be a part of it. How does that work out? Because we put the right things in the right priorities. The first 4 commandments, it's all about God. It's all about taking care of Him. But then the next 6, what is it? It's all about honoring people and loving people. You know what? There's no thou shalt take care of yourself before others. Like, I can't find it. It's not in there. I was trying to find it hard, man. I'm telling you. I'm like, it's not there. There's 6 of them. Honor your father and your mother. That's the first one that comes. That says the first commandment that comes with a promise. What does it say? That you'll live long life and you'll have good days. How many of you guys want to have good days? Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. That's what it says. The next ones. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't want what other people's stuff. Don't want what they got. Don't covet. Right? What does all that have to do with? Loving other people. You know what? If you love other people, you're not going to covet what they have. You're going to be happy they got it. You're going to be happy that they got it. You're not going to want to kill somebody. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. So when they're evil to you, when they're mean to you, when they do stupid stuff to you, you're just like, you know what? I love them, right? You don't commit adultery. You put the right things in the right place. You love your husband. You love your wife enough that you wouldn't put them in that position, regardless of what happens. But you know what? That takes both people giving together, right? If I stop trying to love my wife, guess what? Eventually, she get frustrated with me too. It'll probably take her a lot longer than it would me because she's patient. She's kind. You know why she's that way? Because she loves me, right? Don't steal. Don't lie. I mean, you know, it's really easy to say something that's not quite true or stretch the truth a little bit or leave out the keynote of the story. Right? I used to get in trouble when I was in high school. Like, what'd you do tonight? I was like, oh, I went to the store and came back after I went to that person's house and that person's house and that person's house, right? I told them the truth, just not all of it. That's the same as a lie. All these things, man, love God, love people. Love God, love people. When we do those things, when we put those things in the right place, the right perspective, our life completely changes. Romans 13, 8 and 10 says this. It says, owe no man anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So if you love other people, you've fulfilled the commandments. You're taking care of those things happen. Why do they happen? Because you love them. This is what it says. It's for the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandments are consumed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Romans 13, 8 through 10. What happens is this, is when the heart is right, the actions come. It's not the actions that make the heart right. Just the same way with our salvation. Right? And what happens to us afterwards, the fruit that comes out of our lives, it's not the fruit that saves us. It's the fruit that shows other people that we're saved. How many of you have seen a whole lot of bad fruit in your life? Don't look at other people. It's in your life, right? How many of you have seen a bunch of bad fruit? And the main thing that comes out is, but they said they were a Christian. But they said they're Christians. How could they act that way? You know what? That's a true statement. How could they act that way? How could I act that way? How can I do those things? I get it. We all fall short. We all mess up. We all go through different things and different times. And there may be this issue and that issue and this issue and that issue. But you know what ends up happening is God's name gets tarnished, not ours. God's name gets thrown through the mud, not ours. And people that need love and grace and mercy can't receive it because if that's what it's about, I don't want it. When the heart is right, number two in your notes, when the heart is right, the actions follow. Things start to work out right. We start to do the things that we ought to do when our heart gets right. And it's not because we have to. Not because I have to not kill people. It's that I love them and I see that they got mistakes just as me, even though they are the ones that cut me off. Right? Maybe you should stay away from the horn a little bit and just pray for them. Say, God, you know what? Help. Don't pray for them to get hit by a bus, but pray for them, you know? God, let that person get... Let them get a ticket, God. No, don't do that one. Pray for them. Say, God bless them. Take care of them. I don't know what's going on in their life, but they have needs, and you can fill them. Help them. Start looking at life that way. Maybe your life will change tremendously. Okay, not maybe. Your life will change tremendously when you start doing those things. Jesus said this. He said, a new commandment I give to you. This is John 13, 14, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You notice he didn't say everybody will know that you're my disciples because you told them. One of my favorite shirts I've seen, man, I was at a camp and the guy had a shirt and it was there and had a big light bulb on the front and it said, have you ever heard a light bulb talk? We're supposed to be the light of the world, right? We're supposed to see it, not hear it. It didn't say we were the megaphone of the world, you know, right? We're the light. We're the salt. We're supposed to add flavor. Has your salt ever talked to you from your food before? Mm-mm. It's in tasting the fruit that's there, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Actions come. So what does God, loving God and loving people look like in our lives? The first thing that you got to see, and I got to understand, is it's not about me. It's not about me. Jesus didn't say, hey, I'll heal you whenever I get done doing what I'm doing. I'm too busy right now, but I'll come back and catch you later, maybe, if you're around. What did he say? He stopped in the middle of what he was doing. He's going to Jairus' daughter. She's dying on a bed, and the one with the issue of blood touched him. She was already healed at that point. You guys realize that, right? As soon as the power flowed from her, she was healed. But he stopped and talked to her anyway. Like, wait, who touched me? They're like, are you kidding me? Look at all these people around. Seriously? Who touched you? Everybody's touching you. It's like, no, there was one that's different. Yes. Who is it? And she was there. She's like, it's me. I ain't even supposed to be here. I'm unclean. Not anymore. Right? Not anymore. And what did he say? Everybody's like, man, don't come now. She's dead. You waited too long. You took your time. He's like, she's not dead anymore. Right? He has time to do all these things. It wasn't about him. His whole life, he said, hey, see these things that I've done? Now you go and do them. That's what he told his disciples. Everything that I've showed you, he washed their feet. Y'all know how I feel about that. He washed their feet. He took care of that. What was that whole thing about? That was him putting himself in the place of a servant. The lowest servant of the house washed the feet of the people when they came in. So that all the stuff from the street, because they wore sandals, you know, or walk barefoot. He washed all of that off, right? That was one of the nastiest jobs, and the lowest of the low got that job. That's why Peter was like, you ain't washing my feet, because that's not who you are. Peter understood who Jesus was, right? That's why he said, hey, Peter, you're the rock, and on this rock I'll build my church. Peter, what you just said, that's the foundation. You're the Christ. Peter said, Jesus said, it doesn't matter about who I am. It's about serving other people. How do we show that we love God, that we love people? By serving them, by serving God, by serving people, understanding that it's not all about me. Matthew 16, 24 through 25 says, "And Jesus said, told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." He didn't say, take up his cross and wear a shirt that says, I'm the best Christ follower ever. He didn't say that. He didn't. There's a lot of stuff he could have said, but what did he say? Sorry, who learned me to spoke? It's like, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about my Father. It's about the love that God has given us. When I say about him, it's about the sacrifice that he made so that you and I could even come to the Father. So in order to do that and understand that, the biggest thing that we have to do, the biggest thing that holds us back, that we have to let go, is our pride. Is our pride. You know, the only time you really take offense at what people say is when you're like, well, who are they to tell me that? Right? Well, who are they to talk to me like that? Because y'all ever seen like the celebrities when they get arrested or something? What do they say? What do all of them say? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? I'm special. You can't treat me like that. Don't you know who I am? Do you know most of the arguments and problems and things that we go through is because without saying it out loud, that's what we say in our hearts. Don't you know who I am? You can't talk to me that way. Who are you to talk to me like that? When you know it, if you love them, it doesn't matter really what they say, you still love them. Hurts. It does hurt. Don't get me wrong on that. It still hurts. My daughter says something and it hurt. It still hurts. You know, I still love her. I don't choke her. You know, I don't beat her. You know, I'm just like, man, that hurt. But you know what happens when I say, hey, you know what, that hurt? It hurts her. It hurts my wife. If I say, look, but that's not what I meant at all. But that's what they took. That's what I took. That's what I heard out of it. You guys know how that works? Say one thing, somebody takes something totally different out of it. Y'all know? But what happens is our pride comes up in our hearts and in our lives, and we think, who are they to speak about me like that? Who are they to do those things to me about that? Don't they know who I am? Apparently they don't. Or apparently it's an evil imagination, is what the scripture says in our mind, that's putting us in that position and seeing things in that way. We need to let go of our pride. James 4, 6 says this, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. How many need grace in your life? How many need grace to overtake your life? How many need forgiveness in your life? God's the one that gives that to us. But you know, the only time he gives that to us, when we come to him and say, I can't do this on my own. I messed up. I need your help. If it wasn't for you, I can't do this. But what happens when we get prideful? I can handle this. I'm like, go at it, slugger. See how good you do. But I'll be here when you need me. Actually, I'll be there when you fall so I can pick you up. Basically what happens. God is there. God is waiting. How do we show that we love God, that we love people? What does it look like? It's not about me. It's about other people. It's about serving. It's about taking care of other people. And it's about letting go of the pride and understanding that without God, we're nothing. And because he's the one that brings us through it, he's the one that makes us be that person, so that when the time comes and when all these people are just complete and total idiots to us and saying these things, you know, it only really talks about Jesus raising his voice and getting really angry once. And that's when they had turned his father's house into a den of thieves, he said. He turned over the tables and chased them out with a whip. But, yeah, the scripture says he never sinned. So how does that work? Something to think about. Get in your scripture, study it. One of those things. But ultimately, the only reason why he did those things is because his father wasn't being taken care of. His family wasn't being taken care of. You know what should anger us more than anything? people disrespecting God, disrespecting his house, disrespecting his children, which includes everybody, by the way. We need to understand. We need to love God. We need to love people. Bow your heads, close your eyes.